Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 29th of January, 2020 from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, Mr. Christian says Douglas ratepayers shouldn't pay for the prom disruption. The Promenade Medical Centre's closing at the end of June. Three teaching unions vote no confidence in the minister. The Manx birth rate is the lowest since 1987. How do you break the stigma around male mental health? And after the chief minister's apology for homosexual offence convictions, now what?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines, Pastor May, Ed Oldham.
Pastor May, the leader of Douglas Council, says it's totally unreasonable for the authority to compensate those affected by the promenade scheme. The council has been forced to take £100,000 out of reserves to budget for rate discounts, which a number of businesses have applied for. David Christian says ratepayers should not be asked to pay for disruption caused by a national project. The island's LGBTQ community can begin to heal after the chief minister apologised to those convicted of homosexual activity in the past. Howard Quayle said sorry during this week's sitting of the House of Keys. Zoe Bennett from Isle of Pride says it's an important step. Three people were caught speeding in Kirkmichael this morning while officers were carrying out speed checks near the village's primary school. The drivers were each fined £120 and each had 2 points put on their licence. Further afield, after ministers stripped it of its rail franchise, the owner of Northern says external factors made the company's plans undeliverable. The government will take over running the lines from March the 1st after punctuality problems since 2018. MEPs are expected to vote to approve Boris Johnson's Brexit deal. Earlier, Nigel Farage gave a farewell speech to the European Parliament, with Brexit Party representatives waving union flags. And the National Union of Journalists says job cuts represent an existential threat to the BBC. 450 people are going across the newsroom in an effort to save £80 million. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham Advocates, one of the island's leading law firms, will be at ICE London, where they look forward to seeing you. Or visit manbenham.com. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you, Ed. From the Ronalds Way Met Office tonight, a strong wind warning in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. On the Isle of Man, dry and cloudy tonight with rain towards dawn, overnight minimum 6 degrees. For Thursday, Jourdain, a morning of light rain, mist and low cloud with a strong south-southwesterly, then a dry and clear afternoon. Daytime maximum 10, more rain overnight and down to 7. For Friday, Jahenya, heavy rain at first on a strong southwesterly, clearing towards midday, leaving the afternoon dry and bright at up to 11 degrees Celsius. Low water tonight, 26 minutes to 9. High waters at 29 minutes past 2 a.m. Sunrise in the morning, 9 minutes past 8, and low water, 26 minutes to 9.
If you have failed double glazing units, Manx Glass and Glazing can help. Call 674-573.
The leader of Douglas Council says it's totally unreasonable for the authority to compensate those affected by the promenade scheme. The council's been forced to take £100,000 out of reserves to budget for rate discounts, which a number of businesses have applied for. David Christian says ratepayers shouldn't be asked to pay for disruption caused by a national project. His comments came at a council meeting today where he announced a rate rise of 2.5% and set out budgets for the year ahead. Mr. Christian spoke to our local Democracy reporter,
In relation to the promenade, yes, we've had to take allocate £100,000 in reserves. Some people down there who quite rightly are coming forward asking for a rebate, they are suffering real hardship and inconvenience, have been before the rate and rating appeals group. Some have been awarded rebates. I think at least one was refused, but a considerable number have had it deferred until April. So we don't know what the outcome is going to be. So we've had to allocate £100,000 over 2 years out of our reserves. So effectively, the rest of the ratepayers of Douglas are subsidising it.
Well, do you think that's fair?
No, it's not fair at all. And in the budget speech today, I've made it very clear that we will be writing to Treasury and DOI. We believe Treasury has the powers to introduce a rebate scheme, and we believe that they should be meeting these rebates. This is a national scheme of a huge proportion, causing great disruption. It will be fantastic when it it's done, you know, and I still firmly believe it really will be a bonus, not just for Douglas, but for the Isle of Man PLC. But at the moment, it's causing hardship.
It begs the question, we've been talking about the promenade for years and years and years and years. Couldn't the council and treasury and the DOI have gotten together to iron out what they knew would be, you know, the need for grants or rebates or whatever, so everybody was happy with what we provided? Because there was no way businesses weren't going to be affected.
I think there's a lot of truth in what you're saying there, Ewan, to be honest. But also, the scheme has changed considerably. I think if you look at the way we were originally shown phasing, we could see it hitting certain areas, basically to try and move the whole scheme along, which, if that's achieved, great. But literally, it's now a scheme along the whole length of the promenade. So many people are inconvenienced in different ways and to different levels all at the same time. So I've got a bit of sympathy there because I think, you know, we didn't know the goalposts were going to move as much as they did move. But again, you know, these people have got a right to come forward, but it's not something that should be met by the ratepayers at Douglas, particularly at a time when our reserves are already getting very, very low.
24 minutes to six. More news from Douglas. Having been unable to find a permanent replacement doctor, the partners at the promenade Medical Centre have taken the decision to wind down the practice over the next 5 months. The health department's reassuring the 4,000-plus patients registered there they'll be able to see a doctor during this period. The statement issued this lunchtime says the department's considering all options to continue running GP services from the Chester Street car park surgery with support from locums. This will continue to happen possibly till the end of June. If you've received a letter today, call the primary care team weekday afternoons with any concerns or email fps@gov.im. The 8 staff at Promenade Medical Centre have been informed of the closure by the GPs, and the department's offering to talk to them about the short-term situation and future opportunities within the general medical practice. Talks are also taking place with other practices to see if they can take on more patients. That's the news from the Promenade Medical Centre.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Meantime, the Education Minister, Graham Cregeen, says he's not stepping down from his position despite unanimous votes of no confidence in him by three teaching unions. The vote came at a meeting attended by members of the three teaching unions yesterday evening. The NAHT and ASCL are starting industrial action, short of a strike, tomorrow, Thursday, with the NASUWT set to follow soon. Meanwhile, NEU members have rejected a pay offer made by the department and could now join the other three. Mr. Cregeen spoke to Manx Radio's Tim Glover.
We are very keen to go forward through the Manx Industrial Relations Service. We have offered binding arbitration for what one of the unions have said is the 18-19 pay implementation. So we've offered binding arbitration on that. And, you know, so that offer is still there that we can go to binding arbitration on it.
How can you deal with the unions when they've had a vote of completely unanimous at the meeting at Braddon Church and no confidence in you as minister?
Well, what we've actually done is we've made offers. Now, what the unions have to do is they have to
You've made offers, but that's an entirely different thing for them to actually have a vote of no confidence in a government minister.
But I think what you're looking at is when they've gone, you know, the unions have been aware that we've actually offered Manx Industrial Relations Service to try and come to a resolution on this. They've still gone ahead with their ballot to put their, you know, to put that in the back pocket as a pressure that if we don't get what we want, we've got these actions coming forward. So there's a process that they're going through. You know, what I've said is that we've always been keen to try and come to a resolution on this. And that's what we're continuing to do, is to try and say, let's go to the Manx Industrial Relations Service and try and come to a resolution.
They have no confidence as well in the department as a whole.
But, you know, the situation that we're in is that we've made offers, we've offered binding arbitration. It's how, what else can we actually do? Because we've gone through the process, we've had meetings with the unions, where we actually went through the Manx Industrial Relations Service with the NEU. The NEU thought that they could make a recommendation on that offer to their members. That was rejected. We still have the same process that we can do with the other unions. So we're using the arbitration service there to go through, and that's what they're there for.
Have you thought of resigning?
No, because we're going...
Well, you don't seem to be getting anywhere. Would it be better for another politician to take on these negotiations?
Politicians don't negotiate pay. This is for officers to negotiate pay. Officers negotiate pay. It's not the politicians. So what we've done is we've made sure that our door is always open.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
20 to 6, the Ben McCree left Heysham at 2 minutes past two this afternoon, arriving very shortly in Douglas. Discharging and spinning round, heading off at 7.45 this evening, arriving in Heysham at 11:30 tonight, then back at 2.15, arriving in the morning about 6 o'clock. The Ben is the only craft on duty. Of course, the Fast Craft will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool this March 27th. First sailing of the year to Dublin is the day after, March 28th, and to Belfast for April the 8th.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
After 6 o'clock tonight on Manx Radio, our creative arts programme Spotlight, hosted by Sarah Hendy. But now more on the population challenges the Isle of Man faces following yesterday's news that births hit their lowest rate in over 30 years last year. There were also 140 more deaths than there were births in 2019. Paul Crane, who's the author of the Isle of Man Population Atlas and is an expert on demographics, has been looking at the figures. Another issue for the island, which Tim Glover puts, Mr. Crane, is the ageing population we have here.
We do. Back in 2013, the chief minister of the time declared this as being the biggest problem that the Isle of Man faced was its ageing population. But it has aged much faster since then than it was at that stage. So,
well, every year there's more and more people joining what is considered the ageing population.
Yeah. I've said on Manx Radio before...
More so than the death rates.
Yeah, I've said on Manx Radio before that the Isle of Man is probably the fourth oldest country on the planet in terms of the percentage of the population aged over 65. So we're up there with this... aged population, and with our births at the lowest level since 1986. Now, the last time there were this few births, 1986, the population was only 64,000. So it's a much, much smaller country giving that number of births, you know. Now with the population of 84,000, to have just 710 births in the year is an indication of the extent to which the profile of our population is much older than it was.
Just finally, it's a long-held ambition of the Isle of Man government to grow the population of the Isle of Man, the working population in particular of the Isle of Man. Warning alarm bells, I'm sure, have been sounding for the past decade, but should that now be a klaxon?
I think that population and demographics is a huge issue for islands of our size in particular. In terms of the economy of the island, the future pension liabilities of the island, the employment of the island, attracting, how can you attract investment in business investment and enterprise and so on? How can you attract that if you haven't got the workforce there and so on? So the population is crucial. It's crucial in economic sense, in social sense. And there's a danger that population decline could become cumulative.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
17 minutes to 6, one of the island's longest family-owned car dealerships has announced James Milchreist as its new managing director. A son of the former director, David, James will be running the motors and car rentals dealership. David Milchreist will remain as chairman of the board and a member of the management team alongside his other son, Charles. The company supported local businesses and motorcycle events for nearly 40 years, including the TT, Manx Grand Prix and the Southern 100. Mr. Milchreist hopes to provide a solid foundation for the group.
Y Manx, technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit ymanx.com today. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
The news from Ramsay Crookall is that UK and European markets advanced as investors in the region took to brush off concerns about the spread of the coronavirus. The dollar held near two-month highs and other currencies seen as safe havens stabilised as investors regained their composure after the outbreak in China. Oil prices were mixed as worries about the impact of the coronavirus outbreak on demand and a larger-than-expected build-up of US inventory weighed on prices. Gold rose, propped up by lingering concerns over that economic impact of the coronavirus. Investors awaited a policy decision from the US Federal Reserve. In corporate news, shares of Whitbread were higher on the heels of a recommendation upgrade out of HSBC to buy. Premier Inn owner may not be out of the woods yet. HSBC said trends appear to be bottoming out. Rolls-Royce also powering ahead following the Standard & Poor's decision to revise its outlook on the engineer's long-term debt from negative to stable. News from the markets at the close. The FTSE 100 in London was up 0.04% at 7,483. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.05% at 13,351. Just after 5 o'clock in New York, the Dow Jones up 0.5% at 28,829. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.33% at 9,297. And in Chicago, up 0.25%, the S&P 500 at 3,284. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1.30, €1 18.1 cents. And in the commodities markets, gold edged slightly up at $1,570 an ounce, and Brent crude down 0.5% at $59.76 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. This is Update from Manx Radio. How do you break the stigma surrounding male mental health? Northern Men in Sheds is a community group run by the charity Living at Home, which focuses on combating feelings of loneliness and isolation in retired men. On the Man in Line today on Manx Radio, we were live from the headquarters in Ramsey, and member Roy Neal had this to say about the group helps combat these issues.
To me, it plays a big uplift to get them out of that situation. Because it doesn't matter if you come here and say, I don't want to do anything, Roy. That's fine. We'll just sit down, have a cup of coffee, put the world to rights, and hopefully that by the time that person leaves, he's a lot happier when you first come. But it's, unfortunately, it's getting them elderly gentlemen to come out of the seat and just pop in for 2 minutes. And if you don't like it, it's fair. If they do, it could change their life.
You know what men are like, though? Lots of men just don't like fuss, do they?
Yeah.
They don't like the faff of doing something.
But then again, if you sit back too much, you become depressed. Now, when you become depressed, you don't want to get up and move. And to get some people out of that situation, you actually got to make the first step. Out of depression, you've got to actually try and get out of it. Nobody can help you if you're not willing to help yourself to get out of depression.
So if somebody's listening now, and they're retired, a man, not up to much, not doing much with their life, what would you say to them?
Well, for my own life experience, I had to retire at 50 because I had a heart problem, and with a whole year I got depressed sitting around doing nothing. But I decided when Men in Sheds appeared, I thought, I'm gonna go for this and just go for it, just come up. We're not an environment that we're threatening. We want to join everyone, regardless if you've got skill level or not. Just come in, see what we're about, enjoy the little banter. We might take fun of each other, but it's good humor. It's to try and uplift each other. Like this man here.
Yeah.
I don't think you mind me saying, but when he first come, he was really depressed and he was really crying a lot. We've made a friendship and we've kept it. Yeah. And he knows I'm here for him if he needs anything.
And he's here for me
if I need it. Yeah. So the whole shed is based on friendship, I'd say.
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
They do some remarkable work, Men in Sheds. It sounds innocuous, but they do a fantastic job.
Manx Radio Sport.
Faster my Ed Oldham.
The Isle of Man Special Olympics football team have returned from Gibraltar, where they were competing in the Gareth Cowan Memorial Tournament. They won their first match 8-0 against Algeciras, but then lost to the hosts by the same scoreline. Gibraltar won the tournament for the fourth year in a row. The games took place in the brand new Special Olympics Gibraltar Sports Complex, which was opened just 3 weeks ago. Prior to the tournament taking place, a decision had been made that next year's one would be returned to the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man FA says it's hoping to expand the number of teams taking part next year and has started looking at dates and accommodation options for visitors. Further afield, Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wants his players to take inspiration from last season's performance against Paris Saint-Germain when they face rivals Manchester City tonight. They need to overturn a 3-1 deficit in the second leg of their League Cup semi-final. United overcame a first-leg defeat to progress to the Champions League quarter-finals in Paris last March. Meanwhile, United have confirmed they've agreed a fee with Sporting Lisbon for Bruno Fernandes. The Portugal international midfielder will fly to Manchester for a medical and to agree personal terms. Liverpool can go 19 points clear at the top of the Premier League this evening. They travel to the London Stadium to take on struggling West Ham. And world number one Rafa Nadal is out of the Australian Open tennis. He lost in four sets to Dominic Thiem in the quarterfinal. The Austrian will face Germany's Alexander Zverev in the last four. In the women's draw, Wimbledon champion Simona Halep eased into the semis in less than an hour as she thrashed Anett Kontaveit at 6-1, 6-1.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Everything's fine at the airport. The 5 past 5 to London City left 10 minutes late, but the 5 to 6 Edinburgh flight left 10 minutes early. Kind of balances itself out, doesn't it? Flights to Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick showing no problems at the moment at Ronald's Way Airport. On the Matrix signs, no problems from Bagarrow, Sulby, Hillbury and Ramsey to the Mountain. Elsewhere, temporary two-way 24-hour traffic lights, main road in Colby, also Ramsey Road in Laxey as well. The Balavarga Road in Patrick is closed between the A3 Curragh Road and Lubes Road. They're resurfacing the road. The Curragh Road, St John's, that extension for roadworks through until the end of February between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenities site. Still the problems with Church Road Marina in Douglas, and the Church Road's closed for traffic for gas and water connection work, and also Finch Road's one-way system is reversed. Glen Road in Laxey's got a temporary closure from Churchill Rental Hill Junction to the junction with Minorca Hill. Residents only access from the Minorca Hill end of Glen Road as well. Of course, Laxey is open for business. Lord Street in Douglas still has that one-way traffic scheme and closure of surrounding roads and paths during the regeneration works. And the Peel Road in Douglas, of course, they're building the replacement for the Lord Street flats in the old Athol Garage. Temporary closure of the footway between 41 Peel Road to the former World Control Centre while Dandara develop it. And there's morning time traffic lights as well. All the information, by the way, on trains, planes, boats, buses and roadworks and Douglas Promenade at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Just got time to tell you, by the way, if you're a business taking part in the Save the Children Isle of Man's 100th Anniversary Centenary Challenge, you need to complete it in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The charity started the event last year to mark the milestone where companies, schools and people have been finding ways to raise a minimum of £100. Funds raised go towards protecting children in more than 20 countries, including the UK and Isle of Man. You can find out more information by calling Rosemary Walters on 621-491 or email walters@manx.net. That's Rosemary on 621-491. The Chief Minister's apology to those convicted of homosexual activity on the Isle of Man can help heal the wounds of the past, according to Zoe Bennett from Isle of Pride, a local charity which promotes LGBTQ plus rights and equality. You can hear more about this on Manx Radio's breakfast show tomorrow morning, but in the meantime, Zoe, who was in the public gallery when Howard Quayle made the statement at this week's sitting of Keys, told Manx Radio Sean Cowper how it felt to hear him say sorry.
Emotional, in one word. I had time to reflect by the time I got home last night and reflect on the day and what it meant. And yeah, emotional is how it felt. Alan, you know, risked all kinds of abuse and death threats and all that in 1991 when he stood up and kind of started this campaign, and to be able to sit with him in the public gallery yesterday when this was being read out was quite something. It really was. Decades of campaigning to finally bear fruit and to be done was quite a special thing to be part of. And I think it was an incredibly positive thing. And I think it can start to help heal the wounds of the past and hopefully bring some kind of comfort to those who are sadly no longer with us. So I think it is long overdue, but it certainly wasn't too late.
Are you surprised that it's taken so long for this apology to come forward?
In a way, yes, but I can also understand the complexities of something like that. You know, they were very, very different times back then. The dark days, as Alan Shea refers to them as. And they were, you know, I mean, I as a 16-year-old, I knew I was gay, but I didn't tell anybody because I was terrified. I saw what this man, I'd never met him. I didn't actually meet Alan until last year. But he's been a hero of mine since. It was a terrifying time. And a lot has changed since then, and a lot for the better has changed since then. Obviously, we've had the law was changed. It was decriminalised. Then we had the age of consent. Then we also had civil partnerships, same-sex marriage. So I just think certain things had to happen before we could get to this point, yeah, and before it would be almost a true resolution, if you like.
If you have a comment about the news, email update@manxradio.com or write to Manx Radio, Douglas Head, Isle of Man, IM15BW. That's it for Update Tonight, compiled by the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham and producer Sarah Handy, I'm Andy Wint, and Update is back Thursday evening at 5:30.
£400 with the Quayside Club card.